This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Do they want a loss? The guys in the locker room don't, but here's the thing. Sorry, you can land a better player at 8 than you can at 4 sometimes.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
go play to win. I agree.
I don't think there's any question.
But do you think they're seriously saying, oh man, if we don't win this week, it's going to be so embarrassing. What are we going to do? If it's so embarrassing, then you start firing people on Monday.
That's my point, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm just making sure we're on the
same
page.
Thanks for letting me reel you in.
Okay.
That's my point.
Wait.
What was at the end there?
Who the hell cut that sound?
What was at the end?
Was that Jake?
Did Baskin burp?
Jake, I'm going to need you. There's a few things. Did we have to leave the Jeff Phelps giggle there? Like the
They sounded testy.
They did.
Well, that sounded very testy. You got Phelps' he's cursing all. He's cursing at Menigan today over a Marvin Harrison Jr. idea.
And by the way, he had every right. I love Dan Menigan. That's our guy. He had every right to get cursed at.
I thought it was a good idea.
Jeff Phelps brought up the idea of Marvin Harrison Jr. and they wouldn't let him talk about it on air.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Phelps is still, he defaulted to cursing, which is not something Phelps does. That was an extremely testy moment between the two of them where they were both trying to agree with each other.
Where's Jake? Oof.
And then
I called
burp,
for him.
The burp heard around. I called for him.
No. I went a little bit morning show there.
What was that?
Yeah.
Bring me Jake.
That's kind of how this
you're
goes.
Like a 1400s king.
Yeah.
Sit him right
I
next
got
to
the fatness.
Right next to my jester, please.
I got the yearly bout with gout.
I called for Jake.
All right, Jake, thank you for
I missed
your,
the call out. What's up?
Oh, you did. Oh, okay. What the hell was that sound we just played?
So if you watch the video, I left it in there on purpose because I knew this was going to happen. Baskin just makes a really weird noise with his mouth. He like puts his finger in his cheek and like pops it. For whatever reason, that's just the noise that he makes when he agrees with Jeff.
Can you play Wait, one more time. He sounds like a Wookiee.
The video on the 93 The Fan Twitter account, you can see it right there. I mean, he makes the sound effect.
When you put your finger in your mouth and you don't you do this? Don't you make the popping sound?
What came after the sound? Was it just more debate? They went right past this? The unedited version. 92.3 the fan after dark.
92.3 the bedroom.
That is where the cut actually ends, by the way, him making that noise. So Keith left it in and... You know, I decided to leave it
you
in
know,
as well.
Keith right. left it in for embarrassment. You know, that's what he left it. He didn't want that.
92.3 after dark.
92.3 the leave it in. Here's the thing. The other part is, that's my point, and then Jeff kind of giggles seductively, and then can we just get like the part where Andy says, I don't know what the hell Andy said, but then Jeff basically goes, that's, God, this is great. Just great radio. This is going to get me the Marconi.
Okay, well, I'm just
Thank
making
you.
Sure we're on the
Thanks
same page.
Thanks for letting me reel you in.
Okay.
That's my point.
Yeah, I don't know why any of that was left in. The weird, uncomfortable, erotic laugh of Jeff.
Well, I think Jeff was trying to help out the idea that it was getting a little uncomfortable. That it was getting a little. So he did the laugh. He did every now and then. I'll do it if it gets a little uncomfortable. I'll do a laugh after, just because it's just how we deal with being uncomfortable.
It's like the oh my God, who is the third party candidate? Or it's like the Ross Perot laugh. That's what Phelps did.
I left it in because I knew it would amuse you, and it's working.
Blop. I don't even. It's a highly so rated show.
Does he have a point?
I don't remember what the damn point was. I'm so down the rabbit hole. I'm so down the rabbit hole. Or rabbit hole, as I was about to say.
I play the clip from the top then, and then we can regather the point. We want to regather the point?
We're going to regather.
All right.
Do they want a loss? The guys in the locker room don't. But here's the thing. Sorry, you can land a better player at 8 than you can at 4 sometimes.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
go play to win. I agree.
I don't think there's any question.
But do you think they're seriously saying, oh, man, if we don't win this week, it's going to be so embarrassing. What are we going to do? If it's so embarrassing, then you start firing people on Monday.
That's my point, sir.
All right. Well, I'm just making sure. I don't want to hear it again.
If we do, we're going to get sidetracked.
Yeah, I mean, this is, listen, we already
Will people get fired on Monday if they end up actually losing this game to one of the worst teams I've seen in professional football in the previous half decade?
Can I give you a conditional answer?
I don't like conditional answers, but if it's all you got, then I guess I have to take it.
All right. If you're already planning or gearing towards firing Kevin Stefanski and you lose this game, yeah, you should do it early. This should be, if you lose this game, it's not a layup. The Browns don't deserve the idea of layups because there have been some layups they've actually made this year, and there have been some layups like the Jets game that they just took right on the chin, right? But if you have no plans of firing Kevin Stefanski, then no, that shouldn't be like Haslam watches it and goes, candidly, I can't do it no more. And then he storms in and fires Kevin and said, you were safe, but not anymore, boy. Like, no, that shouldn't be the case with Kevin Stefanski. However,
boy,
if you're already, I feel like he does like call like young men, like young man, like, you know, chief, like those kind of things. It's very, it seems like something you would do, right? If you were Jimmy Haslam.
Maybe chief, but you could start calling people boy at the end of it.
Or like young man. That's kind of what I was going for. But I understand where you're going. The point is, but if you're already like 99% sure you're firing Kevin Stefanski, yeah, you lose this game, your ass should be grass.
I mean, if you're Stefanski, well, if you lose this game, then all you're telling everybody is that you're trying to lose these games.
Yeah.
I know they're bad. I know they're obviously not a good football team, but they're nowhere close to the level of bad that the Titans are. If you lose this game, then you're signing yourself up to lose every game for the rest of the season and try to make it as non-competitive as you possibly can, which would explain why they are, you know, rotating out one of their best linemen.
Well, and here's the other thing. I already kind of think, because, you know, we've talked about, would they fire Kevin in season anyways? And everyone always goes, I don't know what you'd be accomplishing in that unless you had a coach you want to look at. Here's what you'd be accomplishing. If you've already decided you're going to fire Kevin at the end of the season, he's your fall guy, right? For all the crap over the last couple of years. The reason why you do it is you need to go ahead and get a jump start in the coaching search because you don't want to be... Because this isn't like how Haslam used to operate is. He'd start gathering stuff around Thanksgiving when he was getting ready to fire somebody. I don't think you can do that with Kevin Stefanski. He's too well-connected. It's going to get back to Kevin Stefanski, which is honestly the other part I thought about the Fowler thing
the
today.
The Fowler report, yeah.
Where the Fowler report is
like
that,
maybe it's starting to get back to him already?
Yeah, like maybe he's starting to hear things. I haven't heard that. In fairness, like every other time they fired a head coach that I was here... You started hearing stuff in November. I have not heard it. That doesn't mean it's not out there.
Well before. Freddie Kitchens, I heard things in week 2 of his season that he was here. Legitimately, week 2. Every fan will be like, that's not how we remember it. It took until like week 10 or 11 before we started. I know I heard things week 2.
Yeah.
Legitimately week 2.
That's the one. I wasn't here for that one. I kind of wish I was here for that one because it would have been fun. Other than the fact, you know, the Browns were sucking and they shouldn't have been bad. However.
The stories will blow your mind.
Like, I really think because it's such a down year, as Andy Bask would say, a year. Sounds like one of the Budweiser frogs just getting squashed, or maybe getting the opposite of squashed, you know what I mean?
Those were good commercials, though. I kind of want to do a Budweiser, like all three of us go one at a time. Okay. Which one do you want to take? I kind of want to take the part of this.
I want to take the part.
All right, fine. I'll do the Bud. You do the, all right, Bud.
Wise.
He didn't know it. He didn't know it.
Nope, no idea.
What?
Come on, Mac. I mean, come on.
Wait, didn't he say there, Bud? Why?
Yeah, there we go.
I was the one not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was being a D.
No, he didn't hit the part. It was right there. The sound would have been the as you didn't deliver, the sound would have been right there. That was the whole idea.
Mm.
Yeah, if I have to explain it, guys.
But no, I mean, I think that would be, I do think, like, listen, the Bears, that's a pretty defensible loss at this point. The Bills, defensible loss. Like, every loss you have after this is incredibly defensible. So this is kind of the IQ test. This is the thing of, like, hey, if you do this and you're already planning, if you wanted to do it early, because if you do it after the Bears or Bills games, we're going to be like, well, you should have lost those games and you should have lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those things where it can be the mutually advantageous thing. And the Browns can even do the same ridiculous thing they've done when they, we traded him because we really just wanted to do right by the player.
Okay, but
you could run that with Kevin. You could be like, just wanted to give him a chance to get the next job.
Pay attention, though, in this game. I need everyone to pay attention because just like how they, in a 10-8 ball game, was rotating out your best offensive lineman in a 49ers game that was a little bit closer than what they wanted at halftime, the Titans, I also believe, aren't trying to win these games either. Mm-hmm. The Titans are at a spot where they are trying to lose as many as they can. They want to secure the number one pick to hopefully then get two first round picks from another team that wants their franchise quarterback. Okay, so like this might end up being in the second half of this game a who can make the biggest blunders on a consistent basis while not seeming as obvious about it as you possibly can.
I tell you one more reason
you'll know in this game what they're trying to do with the rest of the season.
So it has been posited that Kevin Stefanski is trying to win all these games as possible, and the organization is tanking, right? When we talk about the Wyatt Teller stuff, don't get mad. They're just trying to tank. I don't think that's behind that. I don't think that's what they're trying to do, because I don't know that. I don't think that's the move that you do. But like even Lima was making that case that that's why they're playing Shador effectively, if you listen to the morning show.
That's
right?
What he was inferring, yeah.
I'll tell you, if you're already eyeing a separation with Kevin Stefanski and you're starting to think about, well, we got to get ahead of this, we got to start jump starting the search and get serious about it. If you're thinking, you know what, he might end up giving us the old Lovie Smith treatment. And again, you and I, we want to win every one of these games because I am done tanking. I don't think it works. I think teams, once you get that cancer of tanking in your locker room, good luck getting it out there unless you have a Vrabel or a Dan Campbell to kick it the hell out, right? And Kevin Stefanski sure as heck wasn't that. But I can understand if you look at this and go, well, we got a couple games that Kevin might win, and if he slips up and loses this game, it might give us the ground fire to make that move as well. So we can go to a Bubba Ventrone, who no longer is just tanking special teams. He can tank the rest of the team as well.
Or the other read on this is that we've had this wrong the entire time, and he's actually doing this to a perfect job. Like,
Wait, Kevin's like the greatest. He's not Fredo. He's actually the greatest actor of all time.
He's pulling it off exactly the way that the front office has wanted him to. He's been a puppet all throughout the entire time he's been here. In many ways, if they end up losing this Titans game and he has more of these gaffes, these special teams gaffes, these, hey, let's go for it on 4th and 1 from our own, from the 30-yard line and do it with a rookie tight end direct snap, which is not something anybody would ever dream up of doing, while the whole offense looked confused and you don't call a timeout, it might just be that he's just kind of playing out the part that he was asked to play out
Kaiser Soze?
Might be, with the idea that next year he still has his job, and then you get to go ahead and make a run at it, and all will be forgiven when you start winning games and you have a better team.
I want to fire him more now.
This is what makes me so angry, but like, you see how some of these things are starting to align where he consistently, like it's easy to lose games if you have somebody on the inside helping you lose games. It's easy to pull this stuff off.
It's like Klaus saying it, but for a better draft pick.
There's no gambling involved here.
No, I mean, the gambling is there's no gambling. My sanity.
But yeah, if for the longest time we've thought that they were in concert together, all these thought partners, there is another world that exists out there where Stefanski has been pulling this off to a T, and any close game they've had, and they've had a lot of close games, all of a sudden you have something really stupid happen that you can put at the feet of Stefanski, and it's like, well, he was just trying to make sure the job got done.
So we're piecing a few things together. There was the Baskin and Phelps sound. that we had. You don't need, if I do it, you don't need to play it twice. But them talking about this game could be a fireable offense if you lose this game. And then the Kevin.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Stefanski report from Jeremy Fowler that there's a lot of buzz on him being a prime candidate if he doesn't survive in Cleveland. So we'll throw it out to you guys. 216-474-0092. Is this a kind of loss that gets people fired? I think there's several reasons why it would make sense. And let's just bring it back to this. The Browns should comfortably beat the Titans on Sunday. I don't get to say that a lot, but they should comfortably beat this Titans team on Sunday. It's got to be at least on the conversation. It's got to be at least on the docket to have the conversation if, in fact, you're already on your way to firing Kevin Stefanski anyways. 216-474-0092 and coexistence with the Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive. Cash, love it.
Hate it.
Coming up at 6:30 today, the QB Deadpool right before that. Still looking really good for Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore there. But as we talk about Kevin Stefanski, the Jeremy Fowler blurb today that said if Kevin Stefanski's fired in Cleveland, he will be a prime candidate in this coaching cycle. We still have the task at hand of figuring out where the hell the quarterback room goes the rest of this year. And Emmanuel Acho. I really just want to kind of say how much I just don't really think much of him.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I find...
It doesn't help if we want to play a clip from him, though.
Well, no.
What's your problem with Emmanuel Acho?
I think he's fake.
Okay.
I think he's trying to do like the sports Oprah thing.
Listen, I'm not going to stick up for him.
It's very close to RG3. It's like when you talk sports, I believe you. When you talk about, it's not sports adjacent, but when you talk about like how sports works or how any of these guys think, I can't believe you actually played in the NFL.
Okay. I don't think much about Emmanuel Acho at all, though, to even have enough of an opinion. Although he was an FS1 guy, and you know I do like FS1.
That's true.
You're the ESPN guy. I'm the FS1 guy.
I don't think I'm either guy. I mean, yeah, I do watch a little bit. I watch a little bit of Get Up. I kind of hate watch it.
I never understood the hate watch thing. I don't hate watch anything.
Well, I don't. So it's a good show because it's really quick and it keeps up with my ADD early in the morning.
Yeah.
It's just Greenberg does bug me on some level.
I don't understand.
He doesn't really do anything.
It's definitely a thing. I know. For the longest time,
he's wallpaper. That's my problem.
Well, that's the whole, the whole line with pig vomit in the Howard Stern movie, and not the, looks like a pig makes you want to vomit, pig vomit. The whole part being like how Howard Stern's listeners are twice as long for people that hate him. I've never understood that. I just, if I don't like you as a person, I just don't. I'm out.
And yet you're here.
Well, and so that's what I love. So much of my career is dedicated to the hate listen, clearly, but I don't understand.
I hate listening to one guy every day for 5 hours.
I don't understand it.
I don't have any more bandwidth for outside the show. Well, Emmanuel Acho, great.
You earned that.
I did.
You earned every bit of that.
Yeah, we call that karma, folks. Plus, when Jake was saying his name earlier this week in the meeting, he called him, was it?
It wasn't Acho. It was
Acho?
Acho? Acho?
Acho?
It was something that was way off.
And
his response to it was great, though. He's like, if I cared about getting his name right, I would. I don't care about it. And I'm like, all right, good for you, buddy. We both looked at each other the way that we do, which is anytime anybody gets any name wrong, we're just constantly, we just give each other this look of, all right, we know they didn't do it right. Do they know they didn't do it right? And then we have to go from there.
You and I basically become like a knitting circle. Like there's like a, you hear that? Like it's not good.
A knitting circle?
Yeah.
We're 75-year-old sipping our tea being like,
Not here.
Real problematic.
But
not at this lunch.
Emmanuel Acho had something to say about Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
Is Shedeur the future of the Browns? Not as long as Stefanski's there.
Very true.
The actions to me suggest that Andrew Berry's making this decision or Jimmy Haslam's making the decision. Stefanski, you've been seeing Shedeur. And if what you saw from Shedeur, if that wasn't good enough for you to put Shedeur over Gabriel, then you're telling me the 52-yard pass to Isaiah Bond did it? The 38-yard pass to Jerry Jeudy did it? Or what was it, T? Was it the 5-yard now screen that did it? Was that what he said? Man, Shador's way better than Gabriel. Hell no. We knew Shedeur was better than Gabriel in college. Stefanski, though, you didn't know that. So if you didn't know it then, why you know it now?
Well, we don't know that Stefanski even knows that yet, by the way. Like the conclusion that Acho is getting to is that Stefanski has accepted that Shedeur is better than Dylan Gabriel, and I don't even know if that's 100% true from Stefanski's perspective. From my perspective, of course it is. I don't know that Kevin's come around to that yet.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's funny because we keep having when people say someone's better, there's two ways of looking at this. There's more NFL ready, which I don't think has a whole hell of a lot to do with better. And then there is, we're talking about physical talent and mental talent. So when I hear like what Emmanuel Acho is saying, what he's really saying is they put these two quarterbacks in a position that in the end, and we don't get stuck on this a lot, that in the end isn't entirely fair to either guy. And I think presents a very odd dynamic that I think we've already seen play out where you wonder, well, does Dylan Gabriel and did him and Shedeur actually like each other?
Well, and we've seen a couple jabs that Dylan has taken. Remember earlier on in the year when he talked about like, well, you can't be waiting for the perfect timing in order to get out there. And it's like, okay, clearly a shot at Shedeur. Meanwhile, Shador's had his opportunities and moments where it seems like maybe it wasn't the most kind to Dylan. That's all the rookies holding up the, you know, this in the center.
Was he supposed to say, guys, wrist down?
Well, I don't know what he's supposed to do in that moment, but it made it for a real awkward moment for Dylan Gabriel. I never expected the two of them to want to coexist with each other either. Like, if I was in a fierce competition with another person, I don't have to be best buddies with that person. That's not how that works. Why do we expect them to be on the greatest of terms with each other?
Well, because they don't also have to have a bad situation with each other.
Well, think about it. On the sidelines in Las Vegas, who was there helping him out? It was Deshaun Watson. It wasn't as if he's relying on Dylan Gabriel to be there another set of eyes for him.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be weird if Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur were coaching each other up.
Yeah, they're not.
But well, I think it's more like if there is tension between the two of them, I understand there's a school of thought that says, well, that tension might drive each guy to be better. I would just say, like, that's not what I want in either rookie quarterback's minds. And I would, again, kind of throw this back to Kevin of like, if part of the, I don't know why he created this uneven dynamic, even if it was just as simple as it wasn't intentional, it's just he really believes in Dylan and he would have rather not drafted Shedeur. I don't know. But when you create that situation, I think you've set up a situation that can lead to more failure than it can success.
No doubt about it. And but this is their doing, and it's fine. I can accept that. But I think it's one of the unforeseen circumstances of when you take two rookie quarterbacks and what can ultimately happen.
It can, but I think what would upset me about it is it doesn't have to happen. It's like, listen, Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel, that was bound to happen. One guy was a serious NFL player. The other was a toddler. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not this scenario. These are two guys who work really hard, who seem to be good teammates. Like, there's nothing other than the fact that they're both playing for the same position. There's really nothing, like, if both guys felt this situation was on the level, I don't think you'd have whatever Emmanuel Acho's talking about or what we've talked about with potential tension.
But you still would have had one of them win the job first. And I think that's where the problem was always going to arise. Because whichever quarterback won, the other one was always going to look at it and say, this shouldn't have gone down that way. You know, if Dylan wins the battle, Shador's like, I'm better than him. What's going on? Meanwhile, if Shedeur would have won the battle, Dylan would have been like, wait, I was taking two rounds ahead of you. What happened here? How did this go down? And so that's where I think it was always set up for animosity
between
the two.
Yeah, but that happens all the time in the NFL.
And it sets up for animosity.
Well, no. But when it happens with two defensive tackles, it doesn't turn.
Quarterbacks are a very different conversation, too, though.
No, I think it only becomes a different one if the head coach allows it to. If the leadership allows it to.
Well, by drafting them, you set them up in this spot to do just that.
I think at some point you go, guys, you're competing for the same opportunity, but you don't have to have friction. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be whatever Acho or anybody else might suggest it is. 216-474-0092. Dane Brugler might have gotten some people going talking quarterback. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.